Hello, and welcome to Besotted Geek Booze and Brews number 2, Tolls of the Trade part 1. In this one, I'm going to talk about some of the bar equipment that you're going to want. But before we get into that, I am going to do a quick booze review on Jägermeister. Why Jägermeister? Well, it's one of those ones that I keep in the freezer downstairs. And this is kind of one of the go-tos I have. Just a little shot to get me going before a podcast sometimes. And I'm going to go over the bottle a little bit. It is selected 56 botanicals, as you may say. Botanicals. Cold macerated essence, refined in oak. And since 1878, 35% alcohol by volume. Back of the bottle reads, your hands hold the Jägermeister. Your hands hold our Jägermeister, crafted from a secret and closely guarded German recipe of 56 hand-selected botanicals. The botanicals undergo a gentle maceration process to extract the precious essence, which is refined and harmonized in oak barrels. Our master distiller completes the ritual blending process to ensure the complex and balanced flavor of our herbal liqueur, Jägermeister. Best served ice cold, drink responsibly. And I keep this one in the freezer. I think I said that. Boy, I've had a bit of a hate love of Jägermeister over the years. I think I probably first had it as a shot when I was too young to enjoy what I consider a good sipping liqueur. And then the next time I had it was in something called Jäger Bombs, which is Jägermeister with, what is that garbage that gives you wings? Red Bull. That stuff is just like drinking acid. I don't see how anybody drinks that stuff. It's so bad. It's, and just having Jäger in it, it really killed the Jäger. But I'd say within the last year or two, I was like, I'll pick up a bottle of it. And now I really do enjoy it just on its own, ice cold. It's got the, as I take a sip, it's got kind of that anise flavor, like a black licorice a little bit. I can see it being called cough medicine-y, almost like a NyQuil. So I do believe it's a bit of an acquired taste, but yeah, I feel like on its own cold, it's not a bad sipping liqueur. So if you're one of those ones that had it young and just, it's got a connotation to it. A lot of people love it, but I feel like just as many people hate it. And if you had it at an early age, you might be one of the people that hates it. I would say, and now that your palate's aged along with you, go back to it. Give it a shot. They sell it in tiny bottles. If you just want to like, do I still hate this as much as I used to? And throw one of those in the freezer, pull it out, and just sip it. Don't shoot it. Just give it a little sip here and there and see if you can appreciate it. I think it's complex, and I think there's more to it than just being basically a frat house shot is what I think it's got the connotation of or the reputation of, a bad reputation, unearned reputation. I think there's more to it. So again, check out Jäger. That's my recommendation this week. All right, let's move on to my favorite and most used bartending tools. Again, this is subjective. It's just what I've found over the years to be useful and things I really am glad I have and things I think a lot of bars should have, home bars. And I'm trying to do this in order of importance, and this is part one. I did mention that at the top of the show. I ran out of time before I did everything, and also it feels like it's going to get kind of long. So I am going to try and... Yes, that's a joke. I'm going to try and just go through, give each one the time that is due, because I think there are important ones here. And whatever I don't have in this episode, I'll do in a future episode. I don't know if it'll be the next episode or not. I want to get into other things, but I'll probably just finish it up next episode whenever I do the next one. So let's move on to number one. I'm going to have links, I should mention this, to where you can find most of these on Amazon. This will be probably on the patreon.com/besottedgeek site, all the links to these. Or look for them in your local kitchen supply store, support local businesses. You'd probably be able to find a lot of the things I'm discussing here there. First up, a jigger. This is a very handy item and it's kind of a must have, honestly. It's a small double conical measuring device. It's like one cone as the cone shrinks to the narrow end, then another cone begins at that end. So it's a double cone. One side, typically 1.5 ounces. The other side, typically one. Sometimes you'll see 1 ounce to a half ounce. I would lean towards 1.5 and 1. And it's pretty essential for measuring liquid ingredients, which you really should be doing when you're making cocktails. Unless it's like, look, if you're going to just have some whiskey over ice, you don't have to measure out, well, I only went 3 ounces, so I'm going to get my jigger out and just put an ice cube in there and pour until you're good. That's my advice for that. But if you're making an actual mixed drink that has components in certain proportions and you want to get it right, then you really need a jigger. And I use an OXO jigger, and I will say get used to that brand because that's pretty much my go-to for bar equipment. I think they make the best bar equipment. And mine has a base 1.5 to 1 ounce design, like I mentioned previously. But the cool thing about this one is inside they have these lines and they have other measurements. So the top of the 1.5 ounce side, I'll say, it does have 1.5 ounce at the top, but then a little ways down, there'll be a ring, and that is 3/4 ounce. And then a little below that is another ring, and that says 1/3 ounce. So you've got those on one side. You flip it, top says 1 ounce, a little further, 1/2 ounce, a little further, 1/4 ounce. And these are pretty much all you need for making a mixed drink. Now, pro tip, I will say this. If you need 1/8 ounce, which is rare, that translates to about 3/4 of a teaspoon. So you can just pull out a 1/4 ounce teaspoon and do 3 of those if you're getting that specific. And I think the more handy one is anytime a drink calls for a dash, that's 1/8 of a teaspoon. So that's pretty handy. You can just, if you have 1/8 teaspoon in your drawer, which you should for other cooking purposes, just use that. Or, you know, get risky and just do some dashes. This is usually when you're adding bitters to a drink, it'll say 2 to 3 dashes of bitters. The way the bitters bottle is made, it's kind of like you shake it over the drink and a few drops fall out. That's kind of 1 dash. I usually err on the side of more than less because I like bitters. But if you want to get specific or exact in the measurements, 1/8 of a teaspoon. Moving on. We have the cocktail shaker, and this would be the next thing I think you should have. This is a 3-part device. It consists of like a tall metal glass, and that's where you keep your ice and whatever ingredients, mostly liquid, of course, that you're going to pour in there. Then there's a lid that fits over it, and then has a built-in straining device inside the lid. And then there's a cap that fits over that, so when you're shaking it, it doesn't spill all over the place. And you really need this for chilling and mixing ingredients. If you heard the term shaken, not stirred, this is what it is. You're shaking your cocktail in one of these things to chill it and pour it either on its own with no ice or into a glass with ice. Sometimes it's best to chill the drink. Also, you're mixing things like typically fruit juices and even egg whites. You want to shake it to get the froth or just get the juice mixed in better. Usually when it's all just liquor, you can get away with stirring it, which is another thing that they say James Bond orders his martini wrong because it should be stirred, not shaken. But I typically shake martinis too, just because I think shaking gets the drink colder. So when I'm not using ice, I typically go ahead and shake it anyways, just to make it colder. And stirring, I don't know. They say if you shake it, you can bruise the liquor, but I don't know. That's just a weird term to me, and I don't think that it does anything. It make it a little foamy, but that goes away after a little while. So experiment with that, too. Try it shaken, try it stirred, see what you like better. But this is for shaking. And I also have, I'm going to go OXO again here for my recommendation. I have 2 that I found on Amazon. I'll include links to both of them. I have the double-walled version, which I think the main benefit of that is that it keeps your hands from freezing while you shake it, because it will get cold. But that also, I've had a shaker that doesn't have that. And man, when you can't hold it anymore, that kind of tells you it's done. So you don't overshake it, I guess. But the single-walled version is cheaper. And it actually has more measurements. This is one of the things I love about the OXO shaker is the cap that goes on top to cover it. It has measurements inside, just like the jigger does. So mine has 1.5 ounce, 1 ounce, and 3/4 ounce, whereas the single walled version I just mentioned has also 1/2 ounce. And yeah, if you're on a budget, you might want to just go with the single walled shaker because you can almost get away with a lot of drinks and not need a jigger because it's acts as a jigger. I mean, you're missing out on 1/4 ounce, I guess, and 1/3 ounce, which honestly, 1/3 ounce doesn't come into play that much. So I'd still recommend having a jigger, but if you're starting fresh, you might want to go with the single walled cocktail shaker and then just build from there. So yeah, check those out. Again, I'll include links to both. I have the double walled version and it works great. I've had it for a long time. You can still see it's fading a little bit, the interior. I think they laser printed it or something. I don't wash it in the dishwasher. I wash it by hand, but still it gets a lot of use. But anyway, I can still see what the measurements are. I'd still recommend having a jigger, especially if you have this one that I have. So moving on, I'm going to recommend next a juicer and a paring knife. I started out with an old school, one of those glass juicers, which is, it's pretty much just a flat glass device with a ring. And then in the middle of it is like a cone with some ridges. And what you do is you cut a piece of fruit in half and you kind of press it on the ridges and twist it. And then the juice gets released. And usually there's a little spout and you can pour off the juice and that works fine. Then I moved on to those squeezer types that you see. They're usually yellow or green or even orange, depicting which type of fruit you should use it with. You basically, again, cut the fruit in half, put it in 1/2, squeeze it. And sometimes it's best to like flip it, squeeze it again, flip it, squeeze it again. You get a little more juice out of it. And they work fine. I'm not going to say that they don't. But now I'm using a combo orange lemon plastic juicer. And it has got a large base with a pouring spout. And it's, of course, OXO. And the base is marked like a measuring cup. So it goes from 1/4 cup to all the way up to 1.5 cups with metric on the other side of it. So it's good for big juicing jobs like your mimosas. And a lot of tiki drinks require a lot of juice too, especially if you're making multiple. So yeah, this one I'm really happy with. The standard juicing pieces, they just work better than the squeezer. You are going to have to put more effort into it. The squeezer is good for just, it's really easy to use. The other types, you really have to twist. And yeah, you know, when you're on your 5th or 6th orange, you start to feel it, but it's worth it. I think you get more juice out of it. Again, you're going to have to clear the pulp out of it more often than a squeezer, but that's just something you're going to have to deal with. And I have said in the last episode, you definitely want to be using fresh juices whenever possible. So you have to have a juicer. And as for the paring knife, I don't think you have to go out and shop for a bartender type paring knife. Any small sharp knife that you have in your house will do. If you don't have a small sharp knife, just go buy one. And that's very handy. You're going to want to be able to cut a piece of fruit in half. You're going to want to be able to cut wedges. You're going to want to be able to cut just the peel off of a orange or a lemon or a lime. You're going to want to be able to cut a wedge and then cut the pulp off of the wedge, so you just have the skin that you can twist and put in a drink. As long as you have a knife that can do all those things, then I think you're fine. And I didn't even bother looking for one because it's just a handy knife to have for anything. So you should have one. All right, next I'm going to move on to a bar spoon, which seems silly, but if you get a combo bar spoon, which I recommend, you'll have a couple uses for it. So it kind of pays for itself and is useful. It's required for drinks that are stirred, not shaken. Sorry, Bond. Things in tall glasses, like a highball glass, where you have to really get down in there with a narrow glass. It's very handy. It's a long spoon, usually like has a swizzle up the middle of it, kind of a flat spoon base. But I also recommend having at the other end of the spoon a wide, almost like a funnel at the other end. And this is so you can layer shots and drinks. You basically pour the booze down the swizzle part of the spoon and it slowly trickles down and you have the base resting on whatever liquid is in the shot glass or the whatever already. And that will just disperse it along the top of it. And that way you can kind of try and layer drinks. It's more for presentation than anything else, honestly. And it requires a little bit of knowledge and science. It's based on the density of each liquor, where it will end up settling, the sugar content, even the proof of the alcohol has something to do with where it will layer. So yeah, it's something that you kind of have to experiment with if you're making up your own drinks. And I've found this, I'm usually wrong, but if you let it sit long enough, it also separates by itself. But this does definitely help, especially if you know just through experimentation where you think each liquor will settle, then pouring it in this manner will just make it happen quicker and less messy. You can get some really cool effects of just like perfect lines between each booze as it's layered. And there's certain cocktails that have, man, like 7 or 8 layers to them. I've never made any of those. I don't think I've had all the ingredients since I looked into them. It's been a long time since I looked at them, but now I'm thinking about it like, yeah, there are some, maybe I should try, because I it's just a cool effect. You just see it. It's like, oh, there's so many different colors. And again, it's totally just to look nice, because you're drinking it and it kind of just all blends together when you drink it, but setting it in front of somebody, it's pretty impressive. But anyway, the spoon, you do need a spoon to stir drinks, and you don't want to use a teaspoon. You're getting your hand down in there and things like that. And this is usually used, again, like I said, with a highball glass, but also a Boston shaker, which I'll get to probably in the next episode, honestly. I don't think I have anything. Yeah, that'll be a next episode, Boston shaker. We'll get there. But moving on. Oh, I do have for recommendations for this. I don't have an OXO one myself. I don't know where I got the one that I currently have, but I was really happy to get it, because I did have like a couple generic ones that just had the other end was just a flat end, or just had a little red nub on it to hold it. And eventually I found one that had that wide end that lets you layer easily. And I did find some on Amazon, and the best one I could recommend is a 4-piece set. It was cheaper than just buying one of the ones that I have. And it does have one of those in it, and like 3 other ones that look handy. Like one of them has like a fork on the other end, so that'd be good for getting olives out of a jar or something like that. I don't know. So yeah, I can, I'll throw that up there on the website and you can look into that. Next up, I would recommend a Lewis bag and mallet. I mean, this is honestly one of my favorite bar tools. Yeah, you can really get your aggression out by smacking a sack of ice with a hammer. Let's put it that way. Pro tip. Make sure you're using this on top of a cutting board or something else that you don't mind getting dinged up, because you are hitting a bag of ice with a hammer. So you don't want to, I mean, it's gonna ding things up. You don't want to damage your countertop, let's put it that way. And you really need this for making crushed ice. And this is especially true for tiki season. A lot of tiki drinks call for crushed ice, but there's other drinks that do. And, crushed ice is great because it really chills a drink down quickly and melts. And sometimes you want ice to melt to make a drink more palatable, less boozy. So tiki drinks are very boozy. That's why they have so much fruit juice and crushed ice in it, because that melts and helps you drink liquids other than alcohol, because there's a lot of rum in most tiki drinks. So blenders and dedicated ice makers, they just don't do the trick as much as a good old-fashioned bag of ice and a mallet do. It's crazy, but I've tried both, and it just works so well. And like I said, there's something cathartic about just smacking this ice. It's loud, and it just makes you feel like you're in there making something. And it's really crazy how sometimes the old ways are the best ways. And this is an old way to make crushed ice, and it just works so well. It's a canvas bag, so the ice doesn't stick in it that much. You will get some stuck in there, but yeah, you fill it up with a tray or tray and a half of ice cubes and just go to town on it. And next thing you know, you've got this fine crushed ice that's better than anything you would get out of a fridge or, like I said, a machine. Or the blender's the worst. I really tried to blender a lot, and it's nothing compared to this. I think I got mine at a Marshall's, so I don't have a recommendation for Amazon. I looked on there, and I did pick one out just to provide a link that looks good to me, but if you want to peruse yourself, There's a ton that you can find that probably do the job just as well as the one I'm going to show you. And lastly, for this episode, I'm going to recommend a muddler. And a muddler is pretty much a must for grinding up mint leaves and mint julep. I'm sure it has other uses as well. I'm half kidding because I know I've used it for other things. Getting oils out of fruit skins sometimes that you want to put into a drink. Just grinding up fruit as well. Certain drinks call for that. Like there's a variation on an old fashioned that has you muddle the orange and the cherry together before you put the booze in. Not the way I like my old fashions, but I've done it. It's just a handy device to have. Again, it's mostly for mint juleps, but I love a good mint julep in the summertime. So if you want to drink it right, you need a muddler. And it's kind of just a cheap little piece of equipment that it's handy to have. And you're not going to get a lot of use out of it. But for that one drink, you need it. And like I said, you'll find other uses for it. There's a lot of cheap ones, and I'm sure they're adequate on Amazon. And I have a generic one myself. I don't remember where I got it. It's not OXO, but I'll recommend OXO because next time I'm getting a muddler, if mine ever wears out, which I don't see it happening, honestly, that's what I'll get. So I do have a link to that. But that's it for part one. Yeah, even at the end there, I was like, yeah, do we really need a muddler? Again, these are things that I think eventually you're going to want to have all of them, but I am trying to put them in order of what you should have. Again, jigger, cocktail shaker being the top two. Juicer, I think definitely. You get to bar spoon, Lewis bag, muddler, add those as you need them. But for sure, the top three. And the next ones in part two will probably be even more ridiculous. But, I don't know. I think I did put some more wine and champagne devices that you're probably going to want in the next one. I just am kind of going based on cocktails because that's my go-to. And we'll see. So again, check out patreon.com/besottedgeek for all the links to these devices. Shoot me an email, besottedgeek@gmail.com for any questions, comments. I actually have another jigger I found. There's a couple, I'll have a couple links that I don't mention on here because I looked at some things after the fact of doing notes. There's another jigger, but I am excited to pick up whenever mine wears out, or maybe I'll get it in the meantime because it's OXO, but it's more of a measuring cup jigger. So small, but gives you those accurate readings and a lot of measurements just in one section. So that's kind of exciting for a booze connoisseur like myself. I might throw that on my next order just to have. And because it's always nice to have a couple of these things too, because, you drink one day, it's dirty. The next day you want to have a drink and I want to clean. Hey, guess what? I've got another jigger. Sometimes we do that with the top of the shaker. Whenever a jigger's dirty, it's like, let's make something else. I don't really want to clean that jigger, so I'll just pull the cap off of the shaker and use it. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I think I'm going to start to try and go out with a toast. And I don't have any good toasts off the top of my head. I just a new wrinkle I'm thinking about adding to the show. So I'll just do a generic Elaine Bennis toast and say, here's to those who know us well. Those who don't can go to hell.